now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester here with you on Sports Daily. We've got you for the next little while here, Max Power producing, and we're glad to have you here. A lot to get to on the show today. The news cycle is certainly picking up lately, as is just having some activity. We passed over the All-Star break, which is a slower time of the year, and here we go. More Chiefs contract news, the Royals back in action. We've got the aftershocks advancing. We've got KU's alumni team, K-State's alumni team advancing, and the TBT playing each other tonight. All kinds of fun stuff going on the show. Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, is going to join us in a little while to discuss that opening series with the Marlins. Does it mean anything to what the Royals are trying to do, or is it just the beginning here, and we'll take it down to the wire at the trade deadline? It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama, a German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character that's smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all three WBC brew pubs. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Monday. Good to see you. Looking forward to getting into it today. Training camp for the Chiefs begins in St. Joe this week as well. So a lot to get to on the program today.
Yeah, a lot of news from the Chiefs yesterday, and we'll get to that in the next segment. Just sort of recapping all the headlines here, Tommy. The Chiefs make a couple of splashes. They give George Karlaftis a big deal. We know that Rashi Rice is going to be in camp. We know that Jawan Taylor is banged up right now. Like, it was to kind of get Andy Reid to stand up there for the first time. There was a lot to dig through yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped a couple of big nuggets of information. Obviously, we knew about the Karlaftis signing before Andy Reid talked to the media, but he confirmed that they had gotten Karlaftis signed. And then talking about how Rashi Rice, it's going to be business as usual until the Chiefs know what the suspension is going to be. He'll be in camp with the team. But I thought really notably, Jawan Taylor is going to start the season, or at least start training camp, on the PUP list. With the knee injury and no timeline on his return, what that's going to look like or anything. Obviously, the Chiefs have Josh Simmons. They feel like he's healthy on the left side. They signed Jalen Moore, who could probably play on the right side as well. That's going to be pretty interesting to see how things pan out with Jawan Taylor, at least right now, dealing with that knee.
Yeah, Andy Reid said it wasn't as serious as another injury they were dealing with, but they'll just rotate Josh Simmons in. I don't know. The question was asked to Andy Reid about Jawan Taylor. How do the initial left tackle rotations come? And I'm not sure if it was, I don't know. I think that Jawan Taylor has never been considered for left tackle. So I'm not sure what that was about, but he's out either way. So they're going to get, they'll get Moore and they'll get Simmons in and they'll get reps. You sent me that yesterday. And honestly, like, Jawan Taylor being healthy is important to the Chiefs as much as, he's had his issues and everything else. Is it the worst thing in the world, though? Like, he knows everything. He's been there a long time. If Simmons and Moore both get a few extra reps while he recovers from his injury, probably not. They're both new. They're both new to this thing. So, you can polish that up and it's probably fine for the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, I predicted, as soon as the Chiefs signed Moore that eventually he would be the starting right tackle. I really felt like at some point throughout the course of this season, Jawan Taylor, healthy or not, would eventually sort of be phased out. The Chiefs aren't going to re-sign him. They're not going to bring him back. And so you've got to start looking at a succession plan at right tackle. Josh Simmons looks to be the future left tackle for the team. And that frees up Jalen Moore as a free agent signing for the Chiefs to see what they've got in him. I wonder if this potential, changeover is maybe accelerated with the fact that Jawan Taylor is not healthy. I don't know. I mean, Andy Reid didn't really give a timetable. He did say it wasn't overly serious, but didn't really give a timetable on Taylor getting back to action. And so with extra reps for those guys, and especially Jalen Moore on the right side, that may be, that plan may be accelerated a little bit, because I don't think that they signed Jalen Moore to be a backup on that line. I think they liked him, and I think they liked what they thought they could get out of him. He had been a career backup, but had been, I think, blocked in a large scale in San Francisco. Yeah. And so I think they like the potential of what Jalen Moore is, and signed him to be potentially a long-term starter. And I wonder if that plan is accelerated now with Juwan Taylor on the shelf.
Well, look, I think the best case scenario for the Chiefs is that Moore and Simmons are your tackles. That just means that's because they're both really good. We know kind of what Juwan Taylor is, but the best case scenario for the Chiefs in general is that all three are healthy, and then they're sorting it out on the field. They didn't sign Jalen Moore to be a backup. They didn't sign Juwan Taylor to be a right tackle either. So, like, they are not beholden to this stuff, probably, especially this year. And just get in there and take the reps. And Avery did say that yesterday. We're going to start with whoever the best player is, when they talked about who's going to be the left tackle, like whoever plays the best. And that's what you've got to look at with the Chiefs. But they need the rotation. They need the depth.
They need
Juwan Taylor.
He
just has a bad contract.
Yeah, the worst case scenario, I think, for the Chiefs is if Juwan Taylor can't go to start the season, if that knee injury lingers, and then they realize that Josh Simmons isn't ready either. And then you've got, you know, your two ends that they can't play. And so Jalen Moore can't play both positions. And so what does the depth look like there for the tackles for Kansas City? So that's the worst case scenario. Andy Reid, and it's been a while since we've heard from Andy Reid. He doesn't overly hype things up. I mean, he tries to downplay things a lot. That's just kind of what he does. And so, yeah, I mean, he said that it's not very serious for Juwan Taylor. I mean, we'll see what that actually looks like. I wouldn't be overly optimistic that we see him at all in training camp. I don't know if he'll be back in time.
Oh, I think he'll be back before the end of training camp. He said yesterday, Christian Fulton, he said, if Taylor is ahead of Fulton with whatever. He didn't get into the specifics of either of them, but Fulton is
behind.
But
what's the point then of utilizing Juwan Taylor in training camp? Like, I just don't see what the benefit is. Like, if he's dealing with an injury,
what's the point of using anybody in player? I mean, they're players. They need reps. They need training camp. Like, it's Andy Reid runs a tough camp.
I get it. And that's a big reason why, if I'm the Chiefs and Juwan Taylor, I'm holding Juwan Taylor back because he's dealing with an injury right now. And you know that Andy Reid runs a tough camp. Why take that risk? Get him healthy, put him on the shelf. I don't think we'll see Juwan Taylor in training camp. Now, preseason could be different, but I don't think there's really any point to do that, knowing that he's coming back from that injury.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, either way, these young guys are, well, new guys, in one case, they're going to get reps. And Fulton is another piece. Look, Fulton's got it. They need the depth in the secondary. There's no question. And I don't, you know, he didn't get into the specifics of either injury, but if he is behind Juwan Taylor, then it tells you that it's a more serious injury concern at this point. I don't know that any of it is overly serious at this point, because it's about to start training camp and there's lots of time for guys to get right, get back, and do everything. But Fulton is a guy who hasn't experienced anything with the Steve Spagnuolo defense, so you'd like to get him in for sure. But the Chiefs, they'll take it slow with all of these guys, and then we'll get the rookies in, and we'll dig into the George Karlaftis scenario. We see it after we see TJ Watt. It's all very interesting. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into that for the Chiefs. That's the big news yesterday. That random Twitter guy got it right again. He had it again. There you go. But we'll get into it next. It's Albrecht and Caster at Sports Daily on a Monday. Don't go away.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, you want to win a trip to see Zach Brown Band, Love and Fear, live at the Sphere in Las Vegas this December, including a two-night stay in a suite at the Venetian. The only hotel directed to the Sphere. Connected directly to the Sphere. It's easy to enter the national contest for a chance to win a trip to the show. Download the Odyssey app and listen to KFH for at least an hour. Learn more at odyssey.com/Zach. That's Z-A-C. Thanks to Messina Touring Group. Tommy, have you seen the Sphere down there? Have you been to Vegas since they built that thing?
No, I've not. I have not been down there since they built that.
It's wild. It's wild, and I've only seen it from the outside. It's so cool. It's so cool looking. Just like a giant circular TV screen. They put all kinds of fun stuff up on there.
Do I have to give up my man card if I've never really been a Vegas guy? I've been a couple of times. I don't mind it. But I don't, like, I know there are people that love going to Vegas, and I've never really been that guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know what to say to you right now. It's gotten too expensive.
Yeah, I don't like losing money, and I'm not a good enough gambler to be able to know what I'm doing to be able to not lose my money. And so I think I know the temptation there, and I'm worried that I would fall into that trap and I would have to take out a second mortgage on my house.
Yeah, I mean, that's intense. I would say if that's a concern, yeah, probably is not the best place for you.
Yeah.
But if you can take a wad of cash that you know you're probably going to lose and not worry too much about it, it's the best place in the world. I love Vegas. I love craps. I love the vibe. I love that everybody's having a good time. I love the whole thing, except that it's really expensive now. Didn't used to be that way.
I still don't know how to play craps, and you tried to show me. I've had multiple people try to teach me, and for one reason or another, it doesn't click in my head. I cannot pick it up.
You can simplify it as much as you want. You're just trying to roll this number before this number, and but it's the best. It is a party every time you
play. When I've watched you play craps, and I've done that a couple of times, you're using a completely different language. Like, I don't even know the words that are coming out of your mouth. And I think that's the confusing thing.
Yeah, you're just screaming stuff. But you get there. Like, you learn it. I didn't know it either until I sat at a table when the dealers kind of taught me at like 4 a.m. Speaking of Vegas, when I was 21 years old, my parents took me and I just was like lost in the chaos and trying to like, I was like, oh, play this and just like throwing money out there. And they're like, stop. Like, we'll show you how to play. It's 4 a.m. It's like, let's do this the right way. But man, it's fun though. I everybody agrees too. Like if you talk to people that people, no, I don't ever hear anybody be like, yeah, craps is okay. Like that knows how to play that craps is okay. No, it's usually like, oh yeah, craps. I don't waste my time with anything else. Once you learn how to play and you get on like one heater and experience that rush of a happy table, it's the best. Anywho, go see the Sphere and you can play lots of craps.
I will say, going back to the actual contest, Zach Brown Band, they're phenomenal. I've seen them a couple of times and they're one of the best shows I've ever seen. So I can only imagine what it would be like having them at the Sphere.
Widely considered, from everything I've ever heard, one of the better concert bands ever. And yes, I think that'll be an awesome show. Glad to have you able to enter for that. We'll tell you more about that as we make our way through the week. All right, let's go back to the Chiefs. George Karlaftis gets his deal. We have talked about that. Well, first, let's get to a comment from Rick based on what we were just talking about. He said he hopes we speculate on Christian Fulton being on the injured list too. Neither of us like Juwan Taylor. We don't need to speculate about anything. Andy Reid said they're both on the PUP list. So it's not a speculation. Fulton and Taylor are both there. It's not that I don't like Juwan Taylor. I don't like Juwan Taylor's contract. Juwan Taylor's an average right tackle. They're paying him to be a left tackle. So that's what's made it hard. It's just a financial restriction. The Chiefs will be a worse team if he doesn't play. Like he's better than replacement value. He's an average tackle. He gets penalized too much, but he's fine. He's just overpaid. That's all we ever say with Juwan Taylor. He just has a really big contract and it's at a spot where you don't need a really big contract.
Well, and the fact that, I mean, you go back to when the Chiefs brought him in, they brought him in with the purpose to be the left tackle. And that never happened. He never played at left tackle. And I mean, that was the part of the reason why they signed him, a large part of the reason to be the future and long-term left tackle on that team. And so knowing that and knowing that he's never moved over and played that, and they've had a revolving door at left tackle ever since that, I think that's part of it too for me. And, you know, look, I do agree that they need him on the field this season, but I do think that the more that you can get some of these other guys, and whether that's Jalen Moore or others, to be able to get reps on the right side of the line with Juwan Taylor on the shelf, you're probably looking at what the future plans are at that position long-term for the Chiefs. As far as Christian Fulton is concerned, I think where I'll speculate is that the Chiefs absolutely need to have him on the field for sure in that secondary, because it's a very thin secondary, especially at the cornerback position. I mean, you go and you look at who they've got on that depth chart, I would imagine that Christian Fulton is one of, I mean, he might be the most experienced cornerback on that roster. I mean, Chamari Connor is there. You know, I know people like him. Joshua Williams is there. I think he's got some potential. But Christian Fulton is the most proven commodity, I would suggest, at cornerback. And if he's not there, then you're going to be that much thinner in your secondary.
And I believe, and I'm just like, I think they have, I think they have him like defined as a slot corner, which is what he's played, I believe. So it's like a specific need for them that he's set to fill. I'm not sure. And again, we don't know the severity of any of this stuff, and it's training camp. So it's hard to, like, you know, the difference in training camp and the real season as far as recovery, it's all very different. Like, they're going to take it slow with guys this time of year. So we'll see. I hope it's not serious. George Karlaftis is making serious money. We don't have all the exact contract details. We only essentially know it's 4 years and $88 million. So what that would do is give him $22 million a year on average, which is basically the same money they just gave Trey Smith. I know it's different positions, but it would put him right now, I believe, if I can decipher these lists correctly, it would put him just outside, Tommy, the top 10. And we said last week we were just guessing, and we guessed right. Like, what would it take? And our guess was that he'd need to get paid like a top 10 or 15 tackle. That's exactly what he's getting paid at. And that's probably a fair deal. I can't wait to see the contract details, to see how they maneuvered this out. It's apparently 32 guaranteed at signing of 88, so a little more than a third. It's 62, I believe we know, of total guaranteed money. It's an extension, I believe, too. So I think he doesn't become an unrestricted free agent until 2031. So we've got it. Look, we've got to get some more details on the exact language of the contract, and even the contract tracking sites don't have it yet, which makes me think we just don't have it. We can stack it up on average, though. And on average, it puts him just outside the top 10. That's right where we thought he'd end up. And I think for the Chiefs, the fact that he took a deal like that just outside the top 10, that's probably a financial win for the Chiefs if he's healthy.
Yeah, I think so, because there's always the potential that he could be a top 10 edge rusher.
Absolutely.
Right? And yeah. So if you're getting him at a price where he's outside of the top 10, and then he continues to grow and mature and get better and better and better, then that could end up being a really smart financial move for Kansas City. The one thing that I will say is that on the flip side, I mean, there is risk there. And if you're going to go glass half empty, he's been in the league for, what, 3 years, 4 years now? And he's been good. He's not been great. And so has he hit a peak of, you know, will he get any better? And so you're locked in to a contract for quite a long time. He's what, signed through 2031, I think?
I think that's right.
Is when the end of that contract is. So you could, on the flip side, if he doesn't continue to get better as the years go on, you could be saddled with George Karlaftis for quite a long time. Is that necessarily the worst thing in the world, though, if he's a good but not great edge rusher? I think that it might be a little bit more, you might feel more secure about that position as opposed to having to go out and try to find somebody on the open market.
It's a good thing. I mean, they paid Frank Clark the most money at his position at the time they did it, right? I believe that's right. I think it was the biggest at the time when they did it. It was close to it. It was a lot of money. And he never had more than 8 sacks. Now, we know how critical he was in postseasons, certainly. But in the regular season, I mean, he really wasn't that productive. And so Karlaftis has been more than that. I only bring him up not as like a knock on Frank Clark, because he helped them win Super Bowls. There's no question about that. It's that they were, you know, they were overpaying there and they made it work. They need it so badly to be able to do the things they want to do defensively that if Karlaftis just gives them what he's given them now and doesn't grow anymore, which is probably unlikely, he'll probably get at least a little bit better. But even if he just stays the same, I think it's a fair deal, because right now I think his sack numbers, you're looking at him as like a top 15 to 20 guy in the league, which is good, which is, you know, when there's 64 of them in the league starting, like that's pretty good. And that's about what he's getting paid at. Now you bake in, well, what if he gets a lot better? And then you go back around something we didn't get to last week, and you look at what TJ Watt just got paid at 31 years old. TJ Watt's making double what George Karlaftis is going to make. Now, I think TJ Watt's great. I've told you, I think George Karlaftis has room to grow, but you know, the Chiefs couldn't make him one of the top guys, and they didn't. So I like this for the Chiefs quite a bit. But are you going to try to tell me that TJ Watt is, you know, worth twice as much as George Karlaftis, is twice as productive? Absolutely not. And so I look at those deals. Like I look at these deals for the top guys, TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, who are incredible players, Max Crosby, incredible players. Those aren't good contracts. Those guys aren't going to win those teams aren't winning Super Bowls. So like, I don't know. Like, I think that it's a position that's being overpaid in general. My opinion, I know it's important because they put pressure on the quarterback, but I just look at those deals. It's like wide receiver was way back in the day. There was a time before the league changed the rules and did everything where you basically, like, the top paid receivers, those teams never had a chance. And I'm starting to feel that way about some of these edge rushers. Like, don't you think all of those teams, the Raiders, the Browns, the Steelers, Danielle Hunter for the Texans is the other one, but his is a short deal. But don't you think all those teams would be better served using that money for three or four players to help them win?
I mean, I think it depends on who the player is. I'll give you an example of a player that I feel like the team absolutely had to have. And considering they didn't have him, that really hampered their chances at going all the way. And that's last season in the Detroit Lions. And Aiden Hutchinson went down with that broken leg. I think they absolutely had to have him down the stretch and in the postseason. And they didn't win a Super Bowl due, I think, in large part to the fact that they didn't have Hutchinson out on the field. He's going to be due for a contract. And I guarantee you that after what the Lions saw with him being out down the stretch with that broken leg, that they're going to pay him, because they probably recognize that they missed out on a championship run without him.
I get it. But a part of his value for them and that team as a whole is the money that he commands is being used in a lot of other places for them to have the best offensive line in football. And man, you want to talk about devastating injury news. They just lost one of their tackles for the season. But that's how they pay their offensive line that much. That's how they retool a total defense to try and get them better. I mean, the players are important singularly, but Trey Hendrickson wants this great big deal for the Bengals, and he's been incredible. But Trey Hendrickson by himself is not going to have, the Bengals aren't going to be this great defense, because they had Trey Hendrickson last year and they were the worst defense in football. So like, I think it's,
he was the only guy they had on the defense,
with
by
this
the way.
Position. Oftentimes, I think we try to treat it like a quarterback is on offense, and it is not the same thing. It's just not. Like, yes, quarterbacks command the money because you have to have them to have a chance. I don't think you have to have an expensive end to win a championship. You know what I think the Cowboys should do with Micah Parsons? I think they should trade him. Look at what the Cowboys think they shouldn't be given. Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott, $100 million combined a season? That is not a winning formula. I'm glad TJ Watt got paid. TJ Watt's awesome. The Steelers aren't going to win a Super Bowl. The Browns aren't going to win a Super Bowl. You got to get down to Nick Bosa and the Niners, who, you know, look at the injuries and things he's dealt with. Like, there's not a great correlation right now. If you go and look at the teams that are paying their ends this way, with direct success to championships. Now, I think the better path is to draft them well. That's what I think the better path is. George Karlaftis is somewhere in the middle. I don't think he qualifies to what we're talking about completely. I think you can live in the range they're paying Karlaftis. That's why I like the deal. And it's going to keep resetting. Parsons is going to get paid. Hutchinson's going to get paid. Like the money we just saw TJ Watt and Myles Garrett get is going to get surpassed again. And the Chiefs, hopefully, if they can sit here with Karlaftis getting them 10 sacks a year at $22 million, it's going to be a steal. So I like the deal for the Chiefs and Karlaftis. I think that's the sweet spot. What they just did is the sweet spot for that edge rusher. If you can get them in young and they're good and you can keep them in sort of that middle of the pack, but I don't think you have any business if you want to win a Super Bowl resetting the market for a defensive end. I just don't. That's just my
opinion. I also wonder what the motivation is for George Karlaftis to not want to go and test that market. Now, he's right outside the top 10, so he's not going to garner money like a TJ Watt or a Micah Parsons.
$60 million guaranteed, I guess.
I mean, that's great money. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. But you could conceivably be done with your rookie contract if you're George Karlaftis. Maybe even take another step forward and maybe be right inside the top 10 and go and get more money from another team on the market. And so there's, I know that there's a lot of other factors than just the money out there. And I know Karlaftis, it's the team that drafted him, and you've got this dynasty and championship runs and all of that. You know, maybe he didn't want to go test the open market, but I do think that there's a scenario where he could have ended up making a whole lot more money on the market.
There is, but so let's think about it a couple ways. One, he gets extended 2 years before he's a free. He wasn't a free agent until after next year. And so that's a big piece of it with the injury risk in the NFL. The other is Garrett and Watt just got their deals, and Hunter all just got their deals at the age Karlaftis will be when he actually does hit free agency. So, and I'm sure, and we don't have all the contract details. I'm sure there are outs both ways. I'm sure there are ways the Chiefs, if they need to, will be able to bail. There's a probably, I think he's pretty savvy here, but just because he wasn't going to be a free agent for 2 years. So now, like, you just saw, you're seeing 30-year-old defensive ends get paid boatloads of money. If that production is there, he's still got time for the big payday. But this is, I mean, the most, you know, this is enough for whatever, however you want to look at it. And he gets it 2 years early. With the injury risk of the NFL involved, I'd say it's a pretty good win for him. I mean, his production isn't off the charts. It's good, and the Chiefs have to have it, and they love his energy, and they love the player, and we all love the player. Who doesn't love George Karlaftis and the way he plays football? I think it's a very smart deal on both sides for me. Like, I like this one quite a bit. So the other big storyline, obviously, with them to look at early in camp is Rashee Rice. The Chiefs are probably pretty smart for getting a George Karlaftis deal done right before. So they maybe have to talk a little less about Rashee Rice. Andy Reid, as he always does, he kind of tries to address it right out of the gates and then doesn't give you a lot of information, said he hasn't really had any contact. But basically, that Rice is going to be there. They're going to rotate him in just as planned, and they'll deal with it, whatever it is. And they'll have other guys that are in the rotation that'll be ready. I heard something, and I've kind of seen this, and I do think it's worth talking about. I don't think, because everybody loves conspiracy theories with the Chiefs and the timing of all this. I think that's being dramatic. But I will say, if you're trying to time this and you're Rice or the Chiefs, don't you think it, because remember, like, this wasn't supposed to be cleared up until a court case later. And then I'm going to just speculate and guess here that Rice probably said, you know what, like, I'm going to plead out and we're going to get this thing done, because you can do that at any point. If you're going to do it and you know a suspension's coming, it probably does make some sense to do that while you're recovering from an ACL injury. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if there was any thought given, because people are talking about that and they're being too dramatic about it. But the reality is, like, if you know you're pleading guilty, which we've known that for a long time, I think, like, if you know you're going to do that, he's healthy by all accounts, he would play. but would it make sense to do some of it in that beginning part of that recovery? Probably so. I mean, there's that side of it, too. It does make some sense.
Yeah, it does give him a little bit of a longer time, a longer opportunity to get back into game shape. And he may be there right now.
He gets suspended.
Yeah, he may be there now. Like, I know that it looks like as of now he's going to be going through camp. But if games started today, I would imagine, I mean, the guy's a freak athlete. I would imagine that, you know, he's probably good to go now as it is.
The videos I've seen, he looks good.
He looks good. But I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with if he does get suspended for the first however many games that he's taking that time to get even better. And then you've got a really highly anticipated return whenever that is, whether that's week 5 or week 7 or week 9, you know, depending on the length of time that he's suspended. I don't think that is the worst thing in the world. And again, we'll find out exactly what direction the NFL wants to go. But I would imagine that when that penalty comes down, we're not going to see any kind of appeal. We're not going to see any kind of, like, he's going to accept that penalty and, you know, we'll move on with our lives.
He's been ready to accept everything. But, you know, say what you want. Like he stepped up immediately to try to, you know, to get some, at least financial assistance to these families. I mean, there were people that were seriously, seriously injured. So he's been doing that. He has admitted guilt sort of right out of the gates with this thing. And now, of course, the guilty pleas and all this stuff. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But Andy Reid basically just saying he'll rotate in just like he normally would with everybody else. And he's had no conversations about a timetable, which is, you know, certainly not true. But there's just nothing there. We just wait for the league to come down with a suspension. What I don't know is whatever the game suspension is, let's say they do, you know, 6 games. I believe, can still go through camp and do everything he would up into those games as normal. Now, there would be a point that the Chiefs would pull that back and prepare to not have him for 6 weeks. But I don't think it's going to change much between now and a month from now, whatever the number is. And I do still suspect, based on all the reporting, that we'll get it before the start of this season. We'll get the ruling from the NFL.
Yeah, and it's also probably not the worst thing in the world for the Chiefs to see what they've got in some of these fringe wide receivers, the young guys, the Jalen Royals of the world, sure. And then the guys
in his role.
Right, yeah. And the guys that we talk about every single year about will there be a roster spot for them. Now you've got a little bit more of a door open to show what you can do throughout training camp, throughout preseason, all of that, because – you know, we're pretty sure that we're not going to see Rashee Rice, at least for a period of time, to start the season. So I would love to see what the Chiefs have in Jalen Royals. I would love to see if there's, you know, whether it's a Nico Remigio or others that are at the bottom of the depth chart, you know, to see if they can come in and step in, you know, and be productive.
Yeah, they, you know, they don't have Justin Ross. He was let go. So he's out of that mix. But I don't anticipate that any of those guys you just mentioned are going to be factors. I think they have enough other guys, but yeah, maybe somebody does. I don't think they will. They could have last year, and the Chiefs had to go get outside help. I think it's more about, you know, Hollywood Brown getting the reps he missed out on last year, and do they envision the exact same role for him? You have Juju earlier now than you had last year, right? They brought him in. When did they bring him in last year? Was the season hadn't started yet? Has it had it when they brought in Juju?
I think it was right before the season, I believe.
That's what I thought, but it wasn't this early. So you've got him in there. Maybe if you need to, the thing they can do is with Rice is like whatever position they envision for Rice. Now, maybe you let some other guys work that spot when you weren't anticipating them being that spot. So if you had Juju or, you know, Royals or Brown, like potentially playing a different spot, it's like, well, can one of those guys play Rice's spot until he gets back? I think that gives you a little bit of help. It's probably good to have Rice there with them because Rice is very good at what he does. But we'll all sit back and wait. But I think the anticipation is still that it's all coming before the beginning of the season. And we're off to the races with a bunch of Chiefs news right before this slow off season has elevated between Trey Smith's huge contract, you know, relatively speaking, Karloftis basically getting the same contract, but it doesn't feel as huge, relatively speaking, because of what other guys are getting paid. The Rice news, like now we're starting to get into that groove here, and it's, you know, it's football camp, and Andy Reid's going to run these guys to death like he always does. And he's not going to make any apologies about it. He does the same thing every year. He's like, you know, within the rules, but I listen. Yesterday he said something to the effect of, I listen to the players, and every year the players at the end of the year, they're like, man, I'm glad we were running that XYZ drill, because we just did it again.
He's
not going to change what he does.
It's never failed too. I mean, we've got the hottest, you know, days of the year happening now and this week and next week. And I know it's, you know, going to be probably just as hot in St. Joe, you know, during this as well. So it's always a welcome to the NFL deal for the rookies. Who was the rookie last year? Was it Worthy that was puking on the sideline? A rookie that was puking on the sideline, and you're like, all right, welcome to Andy Reid in training camp. This is what they do up in St. Joe. So it's always brutal, but I think it ends up being good for those guys.
You remember the year it was hot and Travis Kelce was like getting in fist fights. It's like just total, like we've all been there. Absolute frustration, anger of just like how hot it is. And oh man, it's so funny too, because you would imagine, at least I would, if I'm this star college athlete and you're like, I finally made it. All right, now I'm a pro, and you get to Chiefs camp and it's probably just like being back in high school at two a days. What the hell is this? But the good news for the Chiefs and Andy Reid is you've got all your leaders like totally bought in. So like, where are you going to even look to complain when the old men, Jones and Kelce and Mahomes, are out there hoofing it with everybody else? Like, what are you going to say? Like, you just got to go.
Well, and you know, they're basically bunking up together in dorm rooms during the time. And I mean, it's a good experience for those younger players and the guys that have not been part of an Andy Reid team before, to know what they're getting themselves into when they start, you know, training camp the way that they do. So I think it's always been a good thing. I know that throughout the course of training camp, everybody has all eyes on what's going on up there. We'll get more news and nuggets as it goes on about the development of players and what things look like. And I don't anticipate things slowing down at all.
It's going to be an intense camp. I've kind of got my eye on Royals with this Rice news. Rookies never acclimate quickly for Andy Reid. I get it, but they did take him. He's there. I don't know. I think the Rice thing could sting a little bit. It's going to be a very different offense without him. I don't think it will be the elite offense that I envisioned without him there. I'm trying to like find a way for it to be that. It was certainly better at the end of the year when they got Hollywood and they got started to get guys back, but without Rice, but it wasn't what I keep envisioning for this top shelf offense. So I'm trying to like look at this and recalibrate expectations for the Chiefs. Like, what if they win one less game without Rice, or two less games? What if it's, you know, what if they're a three seed in the postseason and they had to play maybe two road games, like at Baltimore and then at Buffalo or whatever it is? I'm trying to think about all that stuff, but the Rice being gone a while is going to, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes you from a great offense to a good offense, and
think that's a best case scenario.
Well, I mean, look at the number of games that they won last year with Rice on the shelf, and
they
even
won a lot of games, but they weren't a good offense.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, they were still winning games, and so
right. Yeah,
okay. You know, I'm not ready to change my expectations on what the end result is for the Chiefs during those games that Rashi Rice is not playing. I'm not ready to change that, because I think that even we've seen it. It's been proven before that the team can still win football games without Rashi Rice on the field. You want to have him there.
No question.
You want to have him there. Absolutely. You want to have him anchoring the passing game. Absolutely you do. But I think you've got another year of Xavier Worthy, another year older. He's more acclimated to the system. Hollywood Brown looks to be healthy and ready to go. Travis Kelce looks to be in fantastic shape to be a pass catcher this season. I'm not willing to change my expectations, even if Rashi Rice is gone for, let's say, 8 games. I'm not ready to change that yet.
I'm just ready to change expectations for how great the offense can be with him gone, I guess is what I'm saying. You want to know who has, like, Hollywood Brown, the opportunity for him right now is tremendous. Tremendous to step into a larger role. All right, we'll come back. We got to get to some Royals baseball. We got to get to some TBT basketball. It's all coming in the next hour of Sports Day.